face drops, the conversation is over. In this case, the timing, the question, and the frame of mind were wrong. You asked the right question at the right time for you, but the time and frame of mind of the other person were way off. Remember, this isn't about you, it's about the other person. An appropriate question at that time for her frame of mind would have been, "Is there anything I can do for you?" Most likely, she would have appreciated your concern and calmed down. At that point, you could have gently asked your question, most likely acknowledging that the timing was still a little off. As you practice your timing, remember that the key to social awareness is focusing on others instead of on yourself so that you can be more effective. Social awareness strategy number 4. Develop a back pocket question. Sometimes conversations just don't go as planned. Either the other person isn't talking as much as you expected, or you're getting one-word answers. A 10-second chunk of silence feels like an eternity. You cringe because it is so awkward. You need to pull something out of your back pocket fast. How about a handy back pocket question? A back pocket question is what you use just in case to bail you out of any awkward silence or uncomfortable moment. This social awareness strategy buys you time so you can get to know someone better and shows the other person that you're interested in his or her thoughts, feelings, and ideas. It can be something like, "What do you think about fill in the blank?" Pick from a handful of issues that require some explanation, like work or current events, but avoid politics, religion, and other potentially sensitive areas. The versatile conversationalist knows exactly when to pull out his or her back pocket question. The conversation needs a kickstart, and you're just not ready to give up yet. It may feel like an abrupt subject change. Don't worry. If it injects life into the conversation, you've done well. If there's still dead air, it might be time to politely include someone else in the conversation or excuse yourself to refill your beverage. Social awareness strategy number 5. Don't take notes at meetings. It's been hammered into our heads that if we want to be successful, we need to learn to juggle a hectic workload and take on more and more. With multitasking, the more you can juggle, the more successful you are, right? Wrong. Multitasking actually sacrifices your quality of work, as the brain is simply incapable of performing at a high level in multiple activities at once. Let's say you're in a meeting where several ideas are being shared. Pros and cons of each idea are tossed about the room. Though the notes are being captured on flip charts, you prefer to take your own so you don't miss any details. As you finish your last thoughts, suddenly, Oscar's voice shifts abruptly from an even tone to one that's clearly annoyed. A terse exchange between Oscar and Melinda ensues. You review your notes and can't find the cause of this shift. What just happened? You missed critical details. By having your head focused on your tablet and your hands scribbling away, you missed the critical clues that shed some major light on how others are feeling or what they may be thinking. Someone who wants the whole story and complete picture observes others without the distraction of phones, typing, or writing. Instead, he or she simply observes. Remember, the main goal of social awareness is to recognize and understand how others are thinking and feeling. To do this, you need to focus on other people. A great place to observe others is at meetings. There's already a captive audience, and usually there's minimal distraction with email and phone, but there's the mighty pen. At your next meeting, don't take notes. Instead, look at each person's face and notice his or her expressions. Make eye contact with whoever is speaking. You will feel more engaged and focused on others and pick up on things that pen and paper surely miss. Note-taking certainly has its value, but it doesn't have to be your modus operandi either. If you need to take notes for practical purposes, temporarily stop at intervals to practice observation. Social awareness strategy number 6. Plan ahead for social gatherings. Picture yourself leaving a dinner party. You can't believe you forgot to bring the bread. You spent at least 10 minutes at the party beating yourself up over it, and another 15 taking ribbing from your breadless yet good-natured friends. As you put your keys in the ignition, you suddenly remember that you wanted to get Jack's business card to call him about a marketing venture, but the bread incident got you off track. Then there's Kate. She seemed down throughout dinner. Why didn't you ask her about it when you were there? You planned to attend this dinner, but did you plan for it? Planning ahead for an event can be your saving grace, whether the event's a dinner party or a meeting for work. If you walk through the door with a plan, you free up your mental energy and brain power so you can focus on the present moment. The next time you RSVP for an event, in your next breath, remind yourself to plan. On an index card, list who is going to be at the event and list any talking points or to-dos. Don't be shy. Carry the list with you. Now let's replay the former party scenario, but this time with your plan on paper and in tow. After you arrive, you give the host that promised loaf of bread. Check. You spot Jack in the kitchen and move toward him to fit in a quick chat and request that business card. Check. With that done, you notice that Kate is off. She looks somber. You notice right away, not as an afterthought while you drive home. You immediately address the alarm in your brain and pull Kate aside to see if she needs to talk. She appreciates your concern, smiles, and shares her story. With that, you both return to the group and enjoy the meal in front of you. A bit of planning will not just prepare you for the event. Planning will also help you enjoy the event more because you'll be less stressed and more present while you're there. Social awareness strategy number 7. Clear away the clutter. To be socially aware, you must be socially present and remove distractions, especially the ones inside your head. These internal distractions are much like clutter in your garage or closet. There's useful stuff in there, but it's crowded and hard to get to what you need. The solution? Clear away the clutter. There are a few culprits that are worthy of spring cleaning. First, we all have conversations and chatter going on inside our heads. We talk to ourselves constantly. We're so busy having these internal chats that we tune the outside world out, which is counterproductive to social awareness. The second culprit is a process where we form our responses while the person we're talking with is still, in fact, talking. This, too, is counterproductive. It's tough to listen to yourself and the other person fully. To clean up this internal clutter, there are some simple steps to follow. When you're in a conversation, don't interrupt the other person until he or she is completely finished. Next, to squelch the voice that is planning your response, it's important to catch yourself in the act. And when you do, stop yourself and clear away the clutter. Now, refocus yourself on the person's face and words. If you need to, physically lean toward the speaker to focus your body into the conversation. This awareness proves you're making progress because, at one time, you didn't realize this pattern existed. Remind yourself that you are in the conversation to listen and learn something, not to wow the other person with your insightful remarks. As you continue to be aware of your clutter and clear it, you'll become better at quieting your inner thoughts, and your listening skills will sharpen. Social awareness strategy number 8. Live in the moment. There's no one better at living in the moment than a child. A child does not think about what happened yesterday or what he's going to do later today. In the moment, he is Superman, and while he's fighting the bad guys, nothing else in the world exists. Adults, on the other hand, worry about the past. Oh, I should not have done that. And stress about the future. How am I going to handle this tomorrow? It's impossible to focus on the present while the future and the past loom. Social awareness requires that you live in the moment as naturally as a child does, so you can notice what's happening with others right now. Make being in the present moment a habit. It will only lift your social awareness skills. Starting this month, if you're at the gym, then be at the gym. If you're at a meeting, be at the meeting. Wherever you are, be as present as possible so that you see the people around you and experience life in the moment. If you catch yourself being somewhere else mentally, snap back to the present. Remember, planning the future and reflecting on the past are valuable exercises, but doing this throughout your day interferes with what is in front of you, your present. Social awareness strategy number 9. Go on a 15-minute tour. Didn't someone say that life is about the journey, not the destination? To become socially aware, we need to remember to enjoy the journey and notice people along the way. When you are focused only on getting to the next meeting, starting your next class period, seeing the next patient, making it to all your client sites, or hurrying to send an email, you're missing all of the people between points A and B. To commit some time to the journey, take some time to walk around where you work and notice your surroundings. Going on a short tour will help you get in tune with other people and their emotions, and refocus your attention on some of the smaller, yet critical social clues that exist right under your nose. During any work day, take just 15 minutes to observe things you've never noticed before. Things to look for include the look and feel of people's workspaces, the timing of when different people move around the office, and which people seek interaction versus those who stay at their desks all day. After your first observation tour, select a different day to tour your workspace for moods. Other people's moods can provide you with critical hints about how things are going, both individually and collectively. Notice what people may be feeling or how they make you feel when you drop by to talk briefly. Also observe the overall mood in the office or the school, patient care area, manufacturing floor, whatever your work area looks like. Focus intently on what you see, hear, and pick up on in other people. Schedule 15 minutes to tour your workplace twice a week for a month. On the days you tour, be sure to avoid making too many assumptions or conclusions. Just simply observe. You'll be amazed at what you see along the way. Social awareness strategy number 10. Watch EQ at the movies. Hollywood. It's the entertainment capital of the world, known for glitz, glamour, and celebrity. Believe it or not, Hollywood is also a hotbed of EQ, ripe for building your social awareness skills. After all, art imitates life, right? Movies are an abundant source of EQ skills and action, demonstrating behaviors to emulate or completely avoid. Great actors are masters at evoking real emotion in themselves. As their characters are scripted to do outrageous and obvious things, it's easy to observe the cues and emotions on screen. To build social awareness skills, you need to practice being aware of what's happening with other people. It doesn't matter if you practice using a box office hero or a real person. When you watch a movie to observe social cues, you're practicing social awareness. Plus, since you're not living the situation, you're not emotionally involved, and the distractions are limited. You can use your mental energy to observe the characters instead of dealing with your own life. This month, make it a point to watch 2 movies specifically to observe the character interactions, relationships, and conflicts. Look for body language clues to figure out how each character is feeling and observe how the characters handle the conflicts. As more information about the characters unfold, rewind and watch past moments to spot clues you may have missed the first time. Believe it or not, watching movies from the land of make-believe is one of the most useful and entertaining ways to practice your social awareness skills for the real world. Social awareness strategy number 11. Practice the art of listening. This sounds basic, almost too basic to mention, but listening is a strategy and a skill that is losing ground in society. Most people think they're good listeners, but if adults played the telephone game today, how accurate would the final message be? Listening requires focus, and focus isn't easy because we're stretched in several directions. Listening isn't just about hearing words. It's also about listening to the tone, speed, and volume of the voice. What is being said? Anything not being said? What hidden messages exist below the surface? You may have sat through a speech or presentation where powerful words were chosen, but the tone, speed, or volume didn't match the power of the words. Instead, these likely matched the speaker's frame of mind. Here's the strategy to practice. When someone is talking to you, stop everything else and listen fully until the other person is finished speaking. When you're on a phone call, don't type an email. When your son asks you a question, put your laptop down and look at him while you respond. When you're eating dinner with your family, turn off the TV and listen to the conversation around the table. When you're meeting with someone, close the door and sit near the person so you can focus and listen. Simple things like these will help you stay in the present moment, pick up on the cues the other person sends, and really hear what he or she is saying. Social awareness strategy number 12. Go people watching. Sometimes, all you want to do is just sit back and watch the world go by, or in this case, people. Sit back at a table at your local coffee shop and just observe all the people going in and out with their grande non-fat extra hot lattes or the couples walking hand in hand on the street. You are actually engaging in one of the most effective social awareness strategies yet. When you take the time to observe, you will notice people reveal their moods. Watch how people interact with each other in the line at the local coffee shop, grocery store, or other public places. These are great practice arenas. You'll see people looking at shelves in stores and the pace at which they move. You can keep a safe distance and use this as a trial run in spotting the body language or nonverbal cues to tip you off to what people are feeling or thinking. People watching is a safe way for you to pick up on signals, observe interactions, and figure out underlying motivations or emotions without entering into the interaction yourself. Being able to identify moods and emotions of others is a huge part of social awareness, and often, these are things that fly under your radar. So, in the next week, head out to your local coffee shop, grab a beverage that strikes your fancy, and get comfortable, because it's the perfect place to work on social awareness. Social awareness strategy number 13. Understand the rules of the culture game. Social awareness extends beyond just picking up on another person's emotional cues. Let's say you start a new job at a company. To be successful, you'll need to learn how things are done in this company's culture. You are assigned to share an office with Lack Sue. To be successful with Lack, you'll also need to learn how Lack's cultural and family background influences his expectations of you as an office mate. You can't interpret his actions or reactions until you learn Lack's rules of the game. Rules? Much of doing and saying the right things in social situations comes from understanding the rules of the culture game. Our world is a melting pot of vastly different cultures. These cultures interact, live, and conduct business with each other according to very specific rules. There is no way around it, and it is a requirement to learn how to become emotionally intelligent across cultures. The secret to winning this culture game is to treat others how they want to be treated, not how you would want to be treated. The trick is identifying the different rules for each culture. To make matters even more complicated, the rules you should be watching for and mastering include the rules not only of ethnic culture, but also of family and business culture. How do you go about mastering multiple sets of rules at once? The first step is to listen and watch even more and for a longer period of time than you would with people from your own culture. Collect multiple observations and think before you jump to conclusions. consider yourself new in town. And before you open your mouth and insert your foot, observe other people's interactions. Look for similarities and differences between how you would play the game versus how others are playing it. Next, ask specific questions. This may require talking in settings outside meetings or on the sidelines. Many cultures, both business and ethnic, value social interaction around meals before getting down to business. There is wisdom in this approach because social interaction raises social awareness for both parties and prepares them for playing by the rules of the game. Social awareness strategy number 14. Test for accuracy. Even the most socially aware people have off days or situations they can't quite read. Maybe there's so much interference and activity with people or the room that it's difficult to get a good reading in the midst of the hectic pace. Or perhaps these socially aware people are almost sure they know what's going on, but need some validation of their observations. In these cases, there's a social awareness strategy to get the answers you need. Just ask. Just ask? Remember, there's no such thing as a silly question. Whether you're a novice or an expert in social awareness, we all need to confirm social observations at some point. The best way to test your accuracy is to simply ask if what you're observing in people or situations is actually what's occurring. Maybe you've run into Steve at work and noticed that he has a sullen look on his face with his head hanging low and his eyes never looking up from the ground. You ask how he's doing, and he says he's doing just fine. Your evidence is telling you otherwise. He says he's fine, but he doesn't appear to be fine. In this moment, ask a reflective question to clarify what you're seeing. Say something like, "It looks like you're feeling down about something. Did something happen?" Simply stating what evidence you see, "It looks like you're feeling down," and asking a direct question, "Did something happen?" is a reflective statement at its best. You will likely hear whatever he wants you to know for now, but you've reached out to Steve and let him know that you are interested. Another type of question that tests for accuracy focuses on unspoken messages, or what wasn't necessarily said. Since people don't always openly and directly say how they feel about something, they'll drop hints. If you feel comfortable asking, this is a great opportunity to see if you picked up on the hints and what you think they meant. You'll also have the opportunity to catch your mistakes if you've jumped to conclusions or missed a cue. Testing your observations for accuracy will ultimately give you a keener understanding of social situations and help you pick up on cues that usually fly under the radar. If you don't ask, you'll never be sure. Social awareness strategy number 15. Step into their shoes. Actors do this all the time. They walk in characters' shoes for a living. Actors channel the same emotions and feelings, embodying the minds and motivations of the characters. It's how actors with great, healthy upbringings are able to play the most convincing, dysfunctional characters, and vice versa. After actors' work is complete, instead of complaining about the process, they often report that they come to appreciate the characters they inhabit, even if it's the bad guy. Walking in the shoes of another is social awareness at its best, and it's not just for actors. It's for all of us who want to gain perspective and a deeper understanding of others, improve our communication, and identify problems before they escalate. If you don't think you need this, when was the last time you thought, "I wish I had known that Jane felt that way"? If you're wishing, it's already too late. Wouldn't it be more useful to catch Jane sooner in the situation? To practice this strategy, you need to ask yourself questions that start with, "If I were this person." Let's say you're in a meeting and someone puts Jim on the spot, questioning decisions he made on a project that had issues. If you were the one who had to answer the question, your tendencies would put you on the defensive. But remember, this isn't about you. It's now about Jim. Put away your own beliefs, emotions, thinking patterns, and tendencies. It's about experiencing this situation as Jim. Ask yourself, if I were Jim, how would I respond to this question? To answer this, use your previous history with Jim to help you understand him, how he's reacted in similar situations in the past, how he deals with being put on the spot, how he handles himself in groups and one-on-one. How did he act, and what did he say? This is all critical information. How do you know if you're on target? If you're comfortable with Jim and the timing is right, approach him after the meeting and test your thoughts. If you're not comfortable with Jim, practice using another situation with someone else and test your thoughts. The more you practice and get feedback, the more comfortable you'll become in the shoes of others. Social awareness strategy number 16. Seek the whole picture. Since we see ourselves through our own rose-colored glasses, chances are we're seeing only part of the picture. If you had the opportunity, would you be willing to see yourself through the eyes of those who know you best? Looking outward and seeking this feedback are key to social awareness because this gives us the chance to see how others view us, to see the whole picture. Taking advantage of this opportunity requires courage and strength to invite your fans, as well as your critics, to get down to the nitty-gritty and honestly share their perceptions of you. What if they're wrong? What if they're harsh? What if they're right? Regardless of the answers, their perceptions matter because others' opinions of you influence you and your life. For example, if people think you're passive in meetings when you simply need time to think before speaking, their perceptions begin to shape what opportunities are offered to you. Soon, your boss is passing you over for chairing a committee because you're perceived as passive instead of thoughtful. The best method for seeing how others perceive you is simple and powerful. For matters of EQ, you can send a 360-degree survey that asks you and other people questions about your self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management skills. The result is a complete picture of your own and others' perceptions. Believe it or not, what others say about you is usually more accurate than what you think about yourself. Nonetheless, whatever these perceptions are, becoming aware is important so you know how they will shape you. Muster some of that strength and gather other people to help you out in understanding yourself a bit more through their eyes. Other than becoming a fly on the wall or videotaping yourself, this is what it takes to see yourself in action through the eyes of others. Social awareness strategy number 17. Catch the mood of the room. Once you've mastered reading the cues and emotions of other people, you're ready to read an entire room. It may sound daunting, but it's what you've already learned about social awareness, just on a larger scale. Essentially, there are two ways to pick up the mood of an entire room. First, you can rely solely on your gut instincts. Emotions are contagious, meaning they spread from one or two people until there's a palpable and collective mood that you'll feel at some level. For example, imagine walking into a room of 125 entrepreneurs who are networking and sharing their ideas. It's pretty likely that there would be excitement and positive energy there, and it wouldn't take long to become aware of it. You'd hear their voice levels and tones and see the focused and interested posture and body language. Now imagine walking into a room of 125 people waiting to be chosen for jury duty. The room is quiet. People are trying to distract themselves with reading material, music, and anything else to pass the time. Even though it's our civic duty to attend, hardly anyone wants to be there. The two moods are like night and day. Here's how you can catch the mood of the room. When you enter the room, scan it and notice whether you feel and see energy or quiet, subdued calm. Take notice of how people are arranging themselves, alone or in groups. Are they talking and moving their hands? Are some more animated than others? What is your gut telling you about them? Another way to read the mood of the room is to bring along a more experienced